First John chapter 3. Probably a very familiar portion of Scripture to most Christians. Most people probably heard this quoted or preached on or something like that throughout their life. And it's a good portion of Scripture. We're going to read the first three verses of 1 John. And we're going to look at the love of the Father. The subject is love. What manner of love? He tells us in the first verse. What manner of love? What's the quality? What is the type of love that the Father shows to His people? That's what we want to look at this evening. Love is a very prominent theme, a very reoccurring theme in the book of 1 John. We've already looked at a couple of instances where John has talked about love, and we're going to talk about it again this evening. If he keeps on mentioning it, there must be something about love that is important in the Christian life and important to God. And so we're going to look at that this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that we've experienced thus far. Thank you for the service that we had this morning. We thank you for coming and meeting with us and for the blessing that we got. Thank you for the songs that we've heard tonight that you provided us with and for the fellowship that we've had. Lord, we do pray for the upcoming Vacation Bible School this week. We pray that you would be in that and that you would help us and lead us and guide us and direct us through that. We pray that you'd help us this evening. Lord, help me to say things that are needful, the things that will edify and strengthen your people. And just give us the wisdom and the navigation that we need, and we'll thank you for it. Lord, we love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll read the first three verses. John, of course, is the author, and he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Verse number 3 says, everyone that hath this hope in him, that's hope in Jesus Christ, that's hope in God, not hope in yourself, but hope in God. But he says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us." Love from the Father to the children of God is the central aspect of salvation, if you will. We want to look at what the manner of love is that he's given to us. It was C.S. Lewis that said, "The Christian does not think that God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because he loves us." Tonight, we want to look at love. I mean, what kind of love is it? What is the manner of love that God has bestowed upon us? It's not just any kind of love. We want to look at the quality of love, the kind of love that God has towards his children. He says, "Look, behold, what manner of love?" What's the quality? What's the type of love that God has showed to his people, bestowed upon us? What does it accomplish? I mean, does the love of God accomplish anything in the life of a believer? I mean, because love is just not a standalone aspect. It's not a standalone substance. I mean, love is action. Love actually does something whenever it is in play. It's not just nothing. It is something, and it's going to accomplish something in the lives of all of those who experience true and lasting love from the Father. Love is the root of all things. We've already looked at how prominent that this theme is in the book of John. We found that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 5. But the love of God is perfected in those who keep the word of God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 10. Love for others shows that we are abiding in the light. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, not loving the world shows that we do have the love of the Father abiding on the inside of us. So love is important in the Christian life. Now, we come to the love of the Father that has been bestowed upon His people. Do you know that God has bestowed His love upon us? We've been blessed by a loving and gracious God, and He's given us His love. Love is the core issue in the matter of salvation. It is the root of all things, and it's no different for God at salvation. The core foundation of salvation is God's love for us. That's the foundation thing. It's the grounds of sonship, the love of God. We're going to look at that this evening. God has called us to something based upon His love for us. If you're a Christian here this evening, you bear the name of called. God has called you. And that calling is based upon the love of God. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. The love of God has been bestowed upon us. We're talking about the Creator of the universe has looked down upon us. And He says, you know, I'm going to give these people some love. Wow. Wow. We're going to look at the different aspects, but we're loved of God because God loves Christ. I want to look tonight at four privileges that we enjoy and the accomplishments that we get through the love of God. What does love accomplish? What does God's love accomplish in the lives of His people? Well, the first thing is this, is that it bestows sonship to the undeserving. The reason that you and I are born again, the reason that you and I are sons and daughters and children of God is because of the love of God. That's the reason why. We find that in verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. The reason that we are sons of God finds its nesting place in the love of God. It's the basis of our salvation. If you want to go to the rock bottom, you want to go to the root, you want to go find the very source of your salvation, it would go down to the heart of God. It would go to the love of God. It wouldn't be something about you or something about me. It would be the love of God because love is the keynote of Christianity. It is the main thing in Christianity. We're privileged this morning, this evening, to be called the children of God. We can't look at ourselves or look, it's not our love for God that makes us children. Now we ought to love God. As children, we must love God. But that's not the basis of our salvation. It's not our good works or anything about us where we can say, look, this is why I'm a child of God. No, we're going to have to point to God. We're going to have to point to God and say, look, it is the love of God that has been given to me, and that is why I'm a child of God. That's what makes me a son of God. I have a Father who loves me dearly, and that's why I am a child of God. The love of God bestows sonship on people who don't deserve it. Undeserving. Do you realize that God is not obligated to give us love? He doesn't owe us love. He doesn't have to give us love. It is because of His mercy and His grace that He's given it to us. What did we deserve? We deserve the wrath of God. We deserve punishment from God. We don't deserve love because we're sinners and that sin has separated us. We don't deserve love from God, but the love of God makes us the children of God. It's a gracious bestowal on God's behalf that He's given it to us. And love, it produces something. You know, when a man and a woman come together and they get married, the reason most of the time is to have children. I mean, that's God's design. Yeah. God's design is for a man and a woman to come together to get married, and it's not just a feeling, it's not just an emotion. I mean, it is at the beginning, and that's what you think it is. Well, I love so-and-so, and I've got this feeling within me, and that's what real love is. Well, it might be in the beginning, but after a while, the feelings go away. Well, they don't go away. I might be getting myself in trouble. The feelings are still there. It's not all about the feelings. That's what I'm trying to say. So now I'm in the doghouse tonight. No, true love is what I'm trying to say. Is true love produces something. They fall in love, they get married, and there's a natural desire between a man and a woman to what? Have kids. They want to produce something, and that's the natural thing. God has put that desire within a man and a woman to do that because he said, look, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. From love comes life. That's where it comes from. And even if the woman can have a child, maybe she's barren or something like that, they still want to have kids. You know, they go in and adopt. Say, well, we want to have kids. So they try to adopt. Well, why do they try to adopt? They've got some love to give. They've got something they want to give, and so they have love, and they want to give it. You know what? Our Heavenly Father has an endless amount of love that He wants to give to us. That's why He's called us His children, and His love has produced and bestowed the privilege of being called the children of God. Do you realize that love that He has bestowed is eternal love? It's never ending. Even on into eternity, you're still going to be experiencing that love that you have right now. Amen. He's adopted some children. He's adopted some. Amen. He said, you know, I have some love that I want to give, and so I think that I will adopt some kids. We find that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It says, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. You know, I want kids and I'm going to adopt me some kids. I'm going to bring them to me and I'm going to do it through Jesus Christ. That's how I'm going to do it. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Did you see why He did it? According to the good pleasure of His will. He said, I want to do this, and so I'm going to do this. Are you an adopted child of God? Well, if you are, you better count yourself privileged. Amen. Better count yourself as loved by God. Yes, to the praise of His glorious grace, He says, you know why He adopted us? He says, you know, I want my grace to get some praise. And so I'm going to adopt me some kids. What is the church doing today and what ought they to be doing? Praising His grace. Thank God for His grace. He adopted me and now I'm a child of God. That's what it's for. We got a gracious God. Thank God that I'm His child. Man, He loved me and He adopted me. Works pretty good, doesn't it? Just like He planned it. Just like He wanted it. He said, I want my grace to be preeminent in the church. And so we named our church Grace Fellowship Baptist Church. Why? Because we got a gracious God. And He's adopted us. The manner of love that God gives is one that produces children. Look, love was the motivator for God adopting kids and bringing children to Himself. It wasn't because of what we would be. It wasn't because of what we were or what He thought about us. No, it was because of His love. That's why. Just plain love. We don't have anything to brag about. We just got to boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Love, it not only produces children, but it also makes strangers out of those that you once knew. It makes strangers out of those you once knew. We find that in verse number 1. It says, therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Therefore. Why? Because of the love of God that's been bestowed upon you. Now you've got some people that you once knew, but now you don't know them anymore, and they don't know you. Made some strangers out of people who were once friends. The world doesn't know us. The world is led by this world system. They have a different mindset. They have a different way of thinking. They have a different way of looking at the world. They have a different way of salvation. They have a difference between you and the world. I used to think like them. But then you got saved and something happened to your mind and your heart. Now you think differently. You once lived by those principles. You were once walking that way. You were once going down the same path, but then God stepped in. And you're not going that way anymore. And the world and the Christians, they don't think alike. They have a different way of looking at things. At least they ought to. If there's not, there's something wrong. They should think differently. God doesn't just change your destination. God changes your mind, and He changes your heart, and He changes your way of thinking, and He changes your worldview. He does that too. Now the world has become a stranger to you, and you have become a stranger to the world. And they say, man, I don't even know you anymore. I mean, I used to know you. I mean, me and you, we used to go out to the bars. We used to carouse around. We used to go out and get drunk. We used to go out and fornicate together. But boy, something's different here. I don't know you anymore. You know, when Paul got saved, he had some friends he used to pal around with, the Jews. But after he got saved, you know what? They became his enemies and they wanted to kill him. They hated him so bad because of the way he thought. Because of his mindset, because of what he preached, they hated him and they said, we're going to put ourselves under a curse and we're not going to eat anything until we take your life, Paul. We're taking your life. They became strangers. They became enemies. Why? The love of God got a hold of Paul's heart. And something happened there. He said, I used to destroy this faith. I used to hate Christians. I used to imprison them. I used to beat them. I used to do all of these things, and now I'm preaching the faith that I once destroyed. Something was different. And then the Jews put themselves under a curse because Paul was going around telling people that they should repent and do works meet for repentance and turn to God and turn to Jesus Christ. And said, we're going to kill you now. And Paul was like, I'm only preaching what the Old Testament says. They are your Old Testament scriptures. I'm preaching what Moses said. You ought to be agreeing with me. But they wanted to kill him. The love of God will make strangers out of friends. The world's not going to understand the peace that you have. The world's not going to understand the hope that you have. The world is not going to understand the joy that you have or the holiness that you are pursuing. They're not going to understand those things and they are not going to know you. You know why? They don't know your God. They don't know the Father. Therefore, they're not going to know you. They're not going to understand the Savior. They're going to question why you need a Savior. Hey, why not just try and be a good person? Because that's what everyone else is doing. You can make it. You don't need a Savior. Any old religion will work. Anything's fine. They're not going to understand the Bible you read. They're going to think you're a weirdo. The Bible, you know how old the Bible is? You know how outdated the Bible is? You're weird, man. You're weird. Why would you want to live by the Bible? I mean, me and you, we used to be pals. But now I don't know you anymore. That's what the love of God will do. It'll make strangers out of friends. And friends out of strangers. The world won't know you. Have you found that to be true? Amen. Since you've been saved, since you've been converted, have you found that those old friends that you used to pal around with and used to do bad things with and perhaps tell dirty jokes or something like that, they don't want to be around you anymore because something's different. That's the type of love that God gives. It'll give a new nature to a sinner. Love of God, number three, will give us hope in the midst of hopelessness. It will give us hope in the midst of hopelessness. We find that in verse number two. He says, beloved, now are you the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God? He's talking about a time period here. He says, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He says, beloved, those are people that are near and dear to the heart of John. And he says, right now we are the sons of God. You don't have to wait till in the future. You don't have to wait until you die. You don't have to wait until you get that glorified body. No, it's right now. You are the sons of God right now. And you might not look like much right now. Your outside body might not have changed. If you wore glasses beforehand, you're still going to wear them again after you get saved. If you lost your hair, you're not going to grow out hair. You're going to be the same on the outside. What he's trying to say there. You might not have changed outwardly. And there might be some persecution coming your way. John is talking about here. There was Antichrist and all of that. And look, the future might look bleak. It might look insecure. And we can't tell what we're going to be like in the future. After we get to heaven, when we see the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're going to look like? You ever wonder about that? I don't know. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. One of these days you're going to get to see Jesus Christ. One of these days you're going to get to see him. He'll return one of these days, and we haven't yet experienced that outward transformation, but there is hope coming. Because right now we're dealing with pain. Right now we're dealing with insecurity. Right now we're dealing with all kinds of sin and destruction and all of that, death, all of that, we are dealing with that. But there's hope coming. There's hope coming. And that's what the love of God does. It gives us hope in the midst of a hopeless situation. Let me ask you something here this evening. If you were to talk to someone who is terminally ill, 2 weeks to live, what kind of hope can you give them outside of the love of God? Could you give them anything outside of the love of God? You couldn't. Because that person has nothing left. What about someone who's sitting in a nursing home and they've already used up all their life and they're on their last few days in a nursing home? Do you have anything of hope to give them outside of the love of God? Do you have anything? You don't. I don't care what religion you have. If it's not biblical Christianity, you have no hope to give them. Nothing. What about somebody who's struggling with depression and they can't see the light at the end of the tunnel? Do you have anything to give them outside of the love of God? You have nothing. You have nothing to give them. What about somebody who's been abandoned by their mother and their father, who's an abandoned child? Do you have any hope to give them outside of the love of God? Do you have anything to give them? The world needs hope. You have to have hope. And the only hope that you can offer that is real hope is Jesus Christ. That's all you have, is the love of God. Because we know that when we pass this life, there is hope on the other side. We know it's going to get resolved. We know that we're going to get a new body. We know that death is not the end. As a Christian, we know it. And we have a guarantee through Jesus Christ. What's going to keep us anchored? What if you found yourself out in the middle of a storm in a huge boat liner? And the waves are crashing, thunder rolling, winds blowing, tossing your boat all over the seashore, all over the sea. You didn't have any hope. What are you going to be thinking about? You're going to be thinking, well, I hope the crew can do something. I hope that the steering wheel works. I hope that the sail works. I hope the captain can do something. That's not what you're going to be thinking about. You got anything left? The only thing you're going to say is, throw out the anchor. That's all we have is the anchor. You're not going to be thinking about navigation equipment. You're not going to be thinking about the captain. You're going to be thinking about the anchor. Because that's your only hope. What hope do you have in life? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says in Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. When death comes, all you hope for is Jesus Christ. That's all you have. You don't have anything else. Doctors ain't going to help. Nothing will help but Jesus Christ. And Paul says, we are going to get a new body one of these days. That's what he's talking about in 1 John chapter number 3. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to have that glorified body. We're going to get that body that's not going to grow old, that one that can't sin, that one that is not susceptible to disease, not susceptible to aging, none of those things. He's going to change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now that's real hope. That's real hope. That's what the love of God does. He gives us hope in hopelessness. And then lastly, the love of God inspires purity in sinful men. It inspires purity in sinful men. We find that in verse number 3. And every man that hath this hope in himself, in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Love gives way to hope, and then hope gives way to purity. Then comes purity. You got to hope in Jesus Christ. Boy, I know that Jesus Christ is righteous. I know that he is sinless. I know that he is coming back one of these days. And therefore, I want to live in purity as well. I have a hope. And the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. And I don't want to disappoint him. And I want to live in purity as well. So I am going to purify myself, even as he is pure. That's why we purify ourselves. The love of Christ constraineth us. We have the promises of God given to us in the Word of God. That's why we purify ourselves. How do we do it? How do we purify ourselves? Purify ourselves by the Word of God, number one. That's how you purify yourself. You ever been out on a camping trip or been around somebody that hadn't taken a bath in 2 or 3 weeks? And they've got that certain odor about themselves. Hey, and I'm not knocking anybody because I probably had that odor myself. They've got a certain odor about themselves and it's not a good aroma. I mean, it just does not smell good. And they're walking around and they're the only ones that notices it. I mean, excuse you, you're the only one that notices it. They don't notice it. They smell fine. But really they stink. And it's amazing, you know, that you don't really have to do any physical labor in order to start stinking. You can just kind of sit there for a while, and after a while, you're going to start stinking. You need to go take a bath. You need to take a bath with water and soap and get cleaned up. You know, that's what's wrong with some Christians. They haven't taken a bath in a while, and they're starting to stink. They are starting to stink, and they need to take a bath in the Word of God and get the sin out of their lives. Get the smell off of them because they've gotten used to the smell and nobody, they don't know that they're stinking. And the only one that can tell is people around them because they know full well, look, you need a bath. We need to get cleaned up. It's noticeable. They don't have to do anything really. Just let some time go by. And don't read the Bible and don't obey the Bible and just let some time go by and you'll start stinking. Because that's a natural thing. It's not that there's something unique about me or you. It's just part of humanity, okay? You need to get cleaned up. Yes, sir. Now, what does the Bible say? Jesus Christ was speaking to his disciples in John 15. He says, every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He cleans it. He purifies it. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It's the word of God that's a cleansing agent. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word of God. And notice it's taking heed, not just reading it, not just listening to it, but taking heed, doing what it says, being obedient. As you read the Word of God and it is preached to you, it has a cleansing effect on you. It just does. The Word of God cleans us up. What else does? Confession of sin. Confession of sin will clean you up. We've already read this in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some Christians just stink because they don't ever cleanse themselves by confession of sin. They're carrying around all of that sin. And they won't offload it on the Lord and say, look, Lord, I've done this. Be honest with God and get rid of that and just get cleaned up and confess your sins. Confession of sin. That's what the love of God does to us. It inspires purity in sinful people. That ought to be our theme in life. Looking for purity. And we ought to do it every day. I mean, how often do you take a bath? Every day. I mean, some Christians seem to think they can go 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, never take a bath, and they're going to be fine. No. Get a bath. Get cleaned up. Amen. Purify yourself. What kind of love is this that has been bestowed upon us as children of God? Well, it's a special love that has accomplished something that you and I could not accomplish in our unregenerate state. It has done that. It accomplishes sonship. It makes friends out of former enemies and enemies out of former friends. That's the kind of love that God has given to us. It gives us hope in hopelessness. It inspires purity. You want to know what that love is? Love was found at the cross. Love was found at Calvary. That's where it was manifested at. That's where you got to go to get it. Can't get it from anywhere else. You must go to the cross. And John says, look, behold, what manner of love. Are you looking for it? Is it in your view? Do you live life every day with those love glasses on? The love of the Father towards His people? I'd encourage you to. He says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Hey, let's purify ourselves because of the love of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. Lord, we thank You for the love that You've given to us. We thank You for what it does in our life. It doesn't leave us alone. Lord, it moves us. I pray that You continue to move us. Continue to do something in our lives. Continue to work. Continue to do the things that are necessary in our lives, and we would do the things that are necessary in our lives to be pleasing to You. Thank You, Lord, for loving us. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's